Now, this is important. The 80% of the people who spend the wrong time are actually talking to clients who aren't really interested in buying, or who put them off, or who say, I'll call you next week. This was kind of fun for me. I used to sell radio advertising, and I was, in the early days, really afraid of getting a no. I was really afraid of getting a no. And so I felt that a maybe was infinitely better than a no. But the fact is that a maybe is really a lot worse than a no. The fact is that a maybe sort of gums up your thinking. So let's look at step number three and see what I mean by the 80% rule here with regards to number three and what we want you to do. So the first thing you want to do at step number three, once you've established rapport and you're asking questions for some period of time, is you want to find a need. And then you want to establish the need and establish value. As you propose a solution to the client's problem, you'll want to ask them, do you see any value in this? And if there's no need, if you can't find a need, or if the client doesn't see any value, then I think you should stop there. Stop right where you are and find another client. Believe me, there are plenty of clients out there. In the town where you live, all you need to do is begin by asking yourself, how many businesses are there in this town? All you have to do is get on the phone, and if you talk to 20 of them and you have an absolutely horrible closing ratio, you'll have one client or at least one person to see within the first day or so. That's absolutely impossible not to, but here's the thing. Most salespeople tiptoe around the issues. They try to get as many maybes as they can, and the truth is that no's are infinitely better than maybes. Let's see why. I think you need to push up against the client enough so that the client makes a decision right now. I think the client needs to make a decision right now. See, if you spend 80% of your time focusing on the wrong person who won't buy, if you spend 80% of your time talking to the people who will buy from someone else, or who are wasting their time talking to other people, or wasting your time and saying, oh yes, and I had people, when I was selling radio advertising, I used to have people say to me all the time, Tad, you're a great salesman, and if I ever buy radio advertising, I'll buy it from you. And I would feel so good, you know, and I'd go, all right. And I'd walk out of the store, and the next day I'd turn on my radio, driving along in the car, and I would hear that same advertiser advertising with someone else. But if you, on the other hand, take and focus 80% of your time on the 20% of the people who will buy and who do buy and who won't quibble about the price, then you'll be spending the amount of time on the people who are high-quality prospects. Step number three here, and I think the entire thing you should be focusing on for the five-step sales process, is how do you get a high-quality prospect? How do you get a really high-quality prospect, someone who is likely to buy from you, a high probability client? And one of the nice things about the five-step sales process is if you don't find a need and you don't find a client with whom you're aligned, find another one. There are plenty of clients out there. Once you find the need, and we're going to suggest you do a conditional close at that point. The thing I like about this particular system is that the conditional close is very innocuous. It says, do you see any value in this? It's so very simple to do. It's something that's really simple. It's a simple question that you can just ask. And so as you ask that question, you're going to see if you can find a high quality prospect. Now, here's the question I want you to ask yourself. Can you call me back tomorrow, a high quality or high probability prospect? Is it? No, the answer is no. Is it possible that the client, can they say, I'd like to think about it? Is that a high quality prospect? No, obviously not. Remember that most salespeople waste 80% of the time on people who buy nothing. You want a high probability client. You want somebody who says, yes, I'm really glad you called me. I'm so glad you called me. I needed to talk to you. Can you come over right away? Now, when we were doing business consulting, we used to ask a very simple question. We'd get on the phone and I'd say something like this. Hi, this is Tad James. I just saw your ad in the newspaper. How did it work? And the client would either say it worked great or it worked terribly. No matter what the client said, I would say, well, we can show you how to get better results from your advertising, increase your bottom line, and be profitable in a very short period of time. Is that something you're interested in or not? I like the or not part, because here's the thing. You don't want the client to say, oh yes, Tad, we certainly could use that, and oh, can you call me one day, perhaps when you you know, get a little better, perhaps when you're a little taller, a little longer, whatever. If they put you off at this point, then clearly they're not the client for you. When you're making your phone appointments first off, the very first time you're in contact with these person, I think you should write a quick, like less than 1 minute description of who you are and what you do, asking for the appointment. I think that's the quickest way to do it. Who you are, what you do, and can I come and explain to you exactly how we do this? That's really important. But your job when you get to step number three, when you're in the actual appointment, is to find as quickly as you possibly can, to find as many no's as you possibly can. Now, in the old days, salespeople used to think of themselves as being the kind of person who would find a maybe and push the person to a yes. And they would grind them into the ground. And I've done that with the best of them, by the way. And they'd really push. And they'd be pushy and pushy and pushy. And the problem is that most salespeople, when they get a maybe, or they get a let me think about it, they're pushing on and on. And the fact is that they're pushing up against low probability clients. But the fact is there's so much business out there. If you could begin to just stop for a moment and consider the gross national product of the country where you live. If you live in the United States, our gross national product is almost an astronomical amount of money. In fact, even the community where you live in the poorest community in the United States has got more money flowing through it than many countries do. More money per hour than some countries have in a year. And the fact is that all of this is available to you. If you just think of that as a stream of revenue flowing by your place of business, I think that's the best way to look at it. If you just think of it, this is a stream of revenue as it flows by my place of business, and all I need to do is take a pipe and stick this pipe right up into that stream of money and siphon off some of it and let some of it begin to flow to you. And of course, the way to do that is to have a product or service that people need. Having that product or service that people need, you need to know that there's an infinite amount of people out there, an infinite amount of people out there who want your product or service. And what you really need to do is find high probability clients. So if at any point during the five-step sales process, especially at step number three, this will save you a lot of time, by the way. I can't tell you how many people I pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and to no avail. But I think if you keep an eye on the person and you make sure that you can establish need and establish a value. So you're going to just simply propose a quick solution to the client's problem. And then you're going to ask them, do you see any value in this? And if there's no need and no value, then you want to stop there. If you do see a need, if you do see a value, and the client can see it, and both of you agree on it, then I think you can proceed from that point. Too many salespeople that I've trained don't ask for the order, and that's the next step. I think the next step is to actually go for a close. Now, while you're in step number three, before you actually go for the close, you're going to want to do a conditional close. Although we say that the close actually happens in step number five, do you see any value in this is a conditional close? You could say, is it fair to say that if we solve this problem, then that would be valuable to you? And this is on the second page of the five-step sales process. You could ask tag questions. You could say, then it would be valuable to you to solve this problem, wouldn't it? I think along the way, you want to discover the client's primary representational system, their primary rep system. Ask them what their primary rep system is, and ask them what their desired state is. Find out what the desired state would be. What is it? How will you know when you're successful having used this product? Or how will you know when we produce the kind of results we want to? It seems to me a decision-making strategy at least would be in order. If I were selling real estate and I wanted to elicit the client's decision-making strategy, I would say to my clients when I first got them, and by the way, when we did business consulting, we actually asked the motivation, the decision-making, and the reassurance strategy from every single, and the convincer, from every single client that we worked with. We did this because we knew that later on we might need it. We might need it to encourage them to do the things we felt were important for them to do. We felt we might need it to do the things that would cause them to do make the kind of changes in their business that we thought they needed to in order to get and be successful. So in that sense, I think it's really good to know those. If I were selling real estate, I would ask my client, I think I'd say something like this. Well, you know, I'd really like to serve you the best I possibly can. So If it's okay with you, I'd like to ask you a few questions that may at first seem off the wall. But what I'd like to do is I'd like to discover how you make decisions. How do you get reassured that the decision you've made is a good decision? And then once you're reassured that the decision you've made is a good decision, how do you actually get clear that it's okay, there's something to do? All of these questions, I think you could ask them. And if you upfront tell them what you're going to do, and then you put it in this frame, you say, and the reason why I want to do this is so I can serve you better. I want to serve you better because I want to put you in the kind of house you want to be in. Now, that would get me if I were buying a house. If I had a real estate agent say to me, you know, I want to get you in the right kind of house. We certainly don't want to buy the kind of house you don't like. Woo. I mean, I'd be right there. I certainly would do it. Wouldn't you? So I think if you upfront say to them, you know, this is going to serve you the best. It's going to allow me to know you the best. Then I think that that's going to really do it. I think if you're upfront with the person, it'll make it very, very easy. Okay. I'm going to assume that you found value. I'm going to assume that we got value at this point. Step number 4 is to link the need or value to your product or service.